Next time you're feeling a bit anxious, try praying. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Don't be anxious. You know, don't be upset. You know, with everything, with prayer and supplication, make your thanksgiving known unto God. Then the peace that passes understanding will rule in your hearts and in your mind through Christ Jesus. And only then. But thanksgiving, it's a good thing. It's good for us to just thank the Lord.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless loves, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Oh, hi there, and welcome again. This is Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is in the middle of our study in Daniel, and today we're going to join him in chapter 6. We've seen it happen recently where the government issues an order, and as the church, we're faced with the decision, obey God or man. That is the decision Daniel would have to make at this point in his life. Let's see together how he would respond with prayer here on today's program.
Now, to demonstrate at an abortion clinic is the same punishment in the penal code as a terrorist would receive. Just to, you know, just march on it, you know, and just walk around. I mean, it's getting real critical in these areas. The law's coming down. I heard of a doctor who was drunk driving, and he hits this pregnant woman and kills her child, and he's up for manslaughter. And yet in his clinic, it's legal to kill babies. Now, what's that all about? That's confusing. But that's the times we're living in. And that's the decisions that are being made. So, King, here's the proclamation and the document. We drafted it. You sign it. It's done. It'll be great. You'll love it. It's all about you, King. King's looking at it going, yeah, sounds pretty good to me. I mean, 30 days, and then everybody can go back to doing what they're doing. But 30 days, that sounds pretty good. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So here's the difference between the Babylonian government and the Persian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar could change anything, anytime, for any reason. Why? Because he was absolute power. Whatever he said was done. He made the rules as he went. Absolute authority. Darius couldn't do that. Once it was made law, notice it says right here in verse 8, it can't be changed. Why? Because that's the way that they ran things. They knew the king loved Daniel. But once he signed it, he couldn't do a thing about it. And they knew that also, because it couldn't be changed. So notice verse 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. It's kind of a sad thing when the government can be manipulated and deceived to be used to destroy. And this is what they're doing. And there's a lot of people are doing this today. Up in Sacramento, up in Washington. They're just manipulating the laws. This is why democracy is now coming back upon us. And it's becoming one of our worst enemies. The freedom of this, the freedom of that, the freedom of this, the freedom of that. We're free. We can do anything we want. It's my home. It's this, it's that, you know. And the freedom is now turned on the people. The nightmare. Notice verse 10. And this is the key verse of this chapter. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel knew what it meant if he prayed, but he also knew what it meant if he didn't pray. You see? And that was his key. Over in Jeremiah chapter 29, if you want to turn there with me, great verse. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, it says that these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So this is a letter that he's writing to all of those that are in captivity. And notice what he says. This is in Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, God says, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And I looked at this, I thought, man, Daniel knew about this. Daniel studied Jeremiah. Daniel knew what God said to Jeremiah, that my people would seek the Lord. That he says, I'm going to hear from heaven, and it might take a while, but I'm going to bring you back into the land. And that very place that you were taken from, you will be brought back into. And so the power of prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. So many times we just let it get to us and we faint. And Jesus said, no, 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 wake up. Sometimes we need a slap, right? Thanks. Ooh, you know. Thanks, Lord, I needed that, you know. You ought to pray. Yeah, I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek your face about it. I need to pray. And so he would not cease to seek the Lord. This is a good habit. Listen, what Daniel was doing here is good for us to do on a regular basis, and that is to pray. Daniel would worship his God and give thanks unto his Lord. I love the time when remember then they were trying to take out under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And when we get to that part in the, you know, when we're out in a public place, everybody go, under God, you know, take that. But I don't think Daniel had this kind of get back thing. You know, we get that. We get that way. You know, when somebody tries to take something away from us, we get in the flesh a little bit sometimes. But I don't see Daniel doing it, saying, well, instead of praying 3 times, I'm going to pray 4. In fact, I'm going to get the ACLU involved in this, man. You're going to hear from my lawyer, you know. He didn't get into that. And I don't think that's the way we need to go either. But I love what he did. He just steadied on. And he sought the Lord in prayer. Now, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, there's another little portion here I want to read to you in verse 36, 2 Chronicles 6, 36. If they sin against thee, the Lord says, for there is no man which sins not, and thou be angry with him and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near. And if they bethink themselves in the land whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul into the land of their captivity, whether they be carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers. In other words, you turn towards Jerusalem and just start to pray. And toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou from the heavens, even from the dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Again, showing the power of prayer. that we need to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That we need to turn back towards God. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and pray. That's what he's talking about here. Now, the Lord says, remember he was talking to the Samaritan woman in John 4, that there's coming a day where you'll neither pray in this place nor in Jerusalem only. But those that pray are going to pray in the Spirit. They're going to be in the Spirit. They're going to pray, you know, let me read it to you. It's in John 4, in verse, actually it starts with verse, but the hour cometh, and he says in verse 23, that now is, that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's exactly what Daniel was doing. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. He knew that God hears prayers and that he answers prayer. Now, you've got to kind of think, how would you react if you were in Daniel's spot and the government said to you, you will not do this anymore? Would you go ahead and continue to do it or not? Would you overreact? Would you get radical? Would you maybe hide, close the windows and say, whoa, you know, I can't do this? And Daniel didn't try to be Mr. Spiritual either and strut up there and open the windows so everybody could see and get down and pray loud, you know. No, he did what he always did, and that's he sought the Lord because he needed the Lord. And that was his secret, was prayer. And what was his source of strength? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Daniel was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Daniel prayed. Oh, how we need this day to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to pray as never before. You remember the story about how they came to this. Actually, they were up in the mountain and they were seeking the Lord. And then as they came down the mountain, and this is over in Matthew 17. And there's a boy, a young boy who was demon possessed. And in fact, this boy was seeking to kill himself, throwing himself on the fire and in the water. He was trying to kill himself. And this whole thing of suicide, it's demonic, isn't it? When a young boy or a young girl will take their lives, that's a demonic thing. That's the enemy seeking to take somebody out. So young, so innocent, yet, you know, so confused, and yet they just take themselves out. But remember what they did. They struggled with the whole situation. And then finally Jesus came in, and this is in John 17 and verse 21. And Jesus says, listen, guys, this is not how you're going to take this and fight this demonic situation. Here's how you fight it. This kind comes out only by what? Fasting and what? And prayer. That's the only way you're going to come against this demonic thing that's going on in your kid's life. In whatever situation you're up against, it's through fasting and prayer. So Daniel prayed three times a day, as every good Jew would do. Why? Well, over in Psalm 55, it says in verse 16 is good. He says, and this is Psalm 55, 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And so the Jews today will pray three times. Now, I don't think this is a bad thing to do. I mean, you know, to pray three times, you start in the morning. It's a good way to start your day off. Lord, here I am. Go before me. I need you today. And then at noon, how's it going, Lord? Am I doing all right? Is everything okay? Kind of checking it out. And then by the end of the day, you look back and say, how'd I do? How'd it go? What's up? You know, and just talk to him. Three times, checking things out. Then the Muslim said, I'm going to top that. I'm praying five times. And then the Christian said, all right, we're going to pray at all times. Gotcha. I love that. Notice Daniel gave thanks in his prayer. It says in everything we're to give thanks. Don't be anxious. You know, don't be upset. You know, with everything, with prayer and supplication, make your thanksgiving known unto God. Then the peace that passes understanding will rule in your hearts and in your mind through Christ Jesus. And only then. But thanksgiving, it's a good thing. It's good for us to just thank the Lord. So Daniel's zeal, he was still on fire. This is a man that sought the Lord every day of his life. There was no compromise in his life. He was 90 years young. He wasn't going to start now. And he wasn't too tired. And he's the head of state. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. He's busy. And he's an older guy, but he's not too busy to stop to pray. You know, Daniel just looked at the things that they said they're going to do. Hey, listen. The king made a decree. If anybody prays, Daniel just said, well, whatever you're going to do with this decree thing, I'm just going to go pray. And that's nothing against you. I just love God. I'm just going home, and I'm going to pray. And he did it. So he kneels down. Now, what's this whole thing about kneeling? Well, it's a good way to sleep if you want to sit on your bed and kneel and put your head in your hands and start to pray, you'll fall right asleep. I guarantee it. If you have problems with praying, you know. Now, the knees is something. When they're knocking, they need to kneel. When we're afraid, we kneel. Everybody knelt in the Bible. But I don't think it has to do with the physical position. I think it has to do with your spirit, that you're kneeling before God, and just the way you are, you're humbled before Almighty God as you walk during the day, and you're crying out to Him. That's kneeling in prayer. Solomon started, you know, on his feet to pray to the Lord, and he ended up on his face. Elijah, he knelt. Jesus in the garden knelt. Stephen knelt as they were stoning him. And Paul, over in Acts 20, it says when he was leaving, he knelt down. They were all falling on him, crying and weeping because he was leaving them. And they all knelt, and it says they prayed. It's biblical. And when you're in fear and you're going through it, it's time to kneel. But again, it's the position of the heart. It's not the position of the body. Okay? It's where our heart is. Daniel's heart was turned towards the Lord. Notice this. And we'll close with these last few verses here. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 11. And these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So these guys, they bugged his apartment. They had, you know, they were in every window looking and trying to see, and they were all around, just like the Pharisees with Jesus. Jesus is out in the middle of nowhere, and he's with his disciples, and they're just taking some wheat, rubbing it in their hands, and taking the kernels and eating it. And they went, ah, gotcha. Where'd you come from? We've been waiting for you, man. And the Pharisees are just there. We caught you, man. You're working on the Sabbath. We saw you rub that. You didn't even wash your hands. We got you. We got you. Those guys. But these guys were the same way. Then they came near, and they spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree? You signed it, didn't you? Huh? Mm-hmm. Then every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Right? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Notice, can't be changed. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, and they hated his guts, regards not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. We caught him. We got him. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. So it is signed, right? Yeah, it's signed. And all of a sudden the king realized, Daniel, they caught Daniel. And he got his lawyers together. He got everybody together. Come on, you guys. Come on, give me a loophole. We got to find something out. We can change this. Daniel's going down if we don't find something here. And they came up empty. And Daniel is in trouble. And the reason is because he was committed to God and he sought to do the righteous, right thing. Why is Daniel having to go through this trial? If you end the story here, and we don't go on any further, which we're going to go on, you would say, well, you would be tempted to say, it doesn't pay to serve God. And you could get an attitude really quick. And sometimes we end the story too soon. And when we end the story too soon, we get an attitude immediately. Oh, there's no hope. You can't change the king's law. There's just nothing can be done. But the story doesn't end here. And the Bible says that all things are working for the good for those that love the Lord. All things. And when the Bible says all, do you know what it means in the Greek? All. You got it. It means all. Everything. And God's plan is what? It's perfect, isn't it? And we need to be careful not to prejudge God's work or his timing in a certain situation in our lives. We need to wait on the Lord. Remember the song we were saying? I don't need to get in a hurry here. I just need to wait upon the Lord because God is wise. And if we jump to conclusions, we're going to have to apologize down the road. We're going to have to repent. Because God does all things right. Everything. And eventually it all pans out. And it's all revealed. In fact, I found a scripture over in Corinthians. Where in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that great? And sometimes we get to the point where, it's too much, and you told me you wouldn't do it, too much, it's too much. God's going, hey, chill. It's not. Come on, wake up. I didn't give you too much. In fact, I gave you a way of escape. And the way of escape is Jesus. He always has been, he always will be our deliverer. And he delivers right on the money every single time. You can count on the Lord because he's our Savior. He's our hero. And we've come to worship him tonight. And we've come to thank him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth. And he's our deliverer.
Well, we have been talking about the power of prayer and God's deliverance today here on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson's message is called To Obey God, Not Man. And it can be heard again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or purchase the CD by calling 800-353-7553. That's 800-353-7553. Today, we'd like to get an easy-to-read pamphlet into your hands. It's The Easter Story by Rose Publication. You can read it in about a half an hour. This full-color pamphlet would be great to give away, as it describes the death and resurrection of Jesus. It also highlights how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies and gives explanations and insights about the most important event in the world. request a pamphlet or two. They're available online purchases at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. We'd love to hear what God is up to in your life and how He's using sound doctrine. It's very encouraging to us. Would you email us today? sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And let us know how we can pray for you when you reach out to us. Well, Daniel is in the lion's den. Next time we are together for Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson will share the practical application flowing from this Sunday school classic. You don't want to miss it. Sound Doctrine is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So Father, won't you